Welcome to Kidney Talk, a program of Renal Support Network, a show that streams health, happiness, and hope to the kidney community. You can download all Kidney Talk shows from iTunes and find a variety of resources to help you navigate this illness at rsnhope.org. Please welcome your host, Lori Hartwell, who has lived with kidney disease since the age of two.
This is the second part of a very, very passionate conversation about the Crit Line with Dr. McCabe. And we're talking about fluid management and all the different problems with it. So listen in. Well, and you know, I just applaud everything that you've said, but I want to get back to something. You know, all we talk about is patient-reported outcomes, right? They've been screaming for years. Patients have been screaming about what they want by how what they're saying. And we measure, you know, what's the number one cause of mortality? Cardiovascular disease. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, hello, fluid. Yeah. You know, I mean, it's like the answer is right in front of us. And, you know, one of the things that I have a pet peeve about this community is they're so parental. Like, if you are a chronically ill patient, now, not all patients, but I had my own crit line because I knew people when I had to go on hemodialysis. And I actually had such bad experience. I was like, I will never go back on hemodialysis. Yeah. I mean, it was like being tortured when I was before. But I got the crit line. And what I discovered in my 1 year of hemodialysis leading up to my kidney transplant. So I had a functioning kidney transplant going in to dialysis. And I know one thing for certain, and I don't have the studies, I just have the patient experience, which they need to listen to more, yeah, is that I kept my existing kidney transplant functioning all the time that I was on dialysis till I got my transplant. Not a lot of urine, because it wasn't enough to where I didn't need dialysis, but I didn't drop my blood volume, because when we talk about, you know, this profile, and, you know, I'll put a link to the brochure and stuff. So, because this is going to take some education from people. I just want to spark a fire under people to stop the denial about this product. And it's very frustrating, because I knew, and, you know, I have a relationship with my doctor, and I was even doing home dialysis. No. And I didn't let my blood volume drop below 6 or 7% on the crit line, because it's an inverse relationship. As your hematocrit is growing, your plasma is being depleted. It's an inverse relationship. So you have that in real time. There's a big thing now about, you know, and it's always been this, it's like, go on PD. You'll preserve your kidney function. Now, why is that? Because PD is gentler. Are we harming people? It's first do no harm. Are you harming people's existing kidney function by taking fluid off too fast when they're on dialysis?
Well, we're trying in 4 hours to do what your kidney does in 72 hours sometimes, or 48 hours. So, I mean, the answer is we are at times reducing the flow to the kidney, and in turn, we're losing these nephrons and we're losing kidney function very quickly. And when you lose kidney function, not only is it just the water and the toxins, but there are middle molecules. There are molecules that affect the brain, that affect blood vessels, that affect other parts of your body that we're not able to remove because your kidney is no longer functioning. So preserving your kidney function should be a huge priority. It's become, we used to, back early in my days of training, we used to check the urines of hemodialysis patients. And then after a while, people go, well, you can't include that like you do PD. You can't include that. But I'm saying these patients still have residual function. We need to preserve them. We need to stay away from arthritis medicines like Advils and Motrins. We need to protect the kidneys that are working. Even if it's a few, it'll allow you to go longer and live better by preserving things. But with dialysis, without measuring the volume and just saying, oh, your weight's this today, it's the same weight as yesterday, the same weight as tomorrow, and not looking at the patient real well, It's a guessing game to hope that they don't have a problem. And that we need to get rid of guessing. And with all the technology that has come along, for me personally, this has been one of the devices that brings safety to my patients. It also helps my nurses understand the volume of a patient, not just, again, they're going after a number, and that number may be totally wrong. And frequently, every patient that I brought in the hospital very often changed their weights because of the crit lines. They told me they either had too much fluid or we were taking too much, and I could bring them back into balance to go back out to the outpatient setting. So I felt it was important both as an outpatient to have them and also as an inpatient to have them. And I think it will be a standard of care in the future. Fresenius is moving that way with all their machines. The 2018 machine, which is the newest that's out there, has the built-in crit line that can help take some of the workload off the nurses. It integrates it directly into computers. So all this work that they're typing and touching and doing, they can actually now start looking at the patients and take care of the patients.
Well, and, you know, one of the things that, too, with, you know, we talk about a B profile. So I want to go through the profiles. This interview is going to be a little longer because I'm not going to sleep tonight if I don't get this all off my chest.
Sure.
So the B profile is basically where you have a gradual removal of blood volume. And you can see that in real time. And that is the safest way to remove fluid, because you don't want it too fast and you don't want it too slow. I mean, you have to do it at a slow pace. And then one of the things that was interesting, I don't know if they still do this, but after you do this slow profile, you turn the UF off for a while. And if it bounces back up, it can tell you that there may still be fluid available. And
refill.
This is critical because a lot of people are in the bed. They don't get up. They've in the hospital, they've lost weight, gained weight. You have no clue where the fluid is or how much it is. And I've seen this over and over again when, you know, they think, well, we think the dry weight is a guesstimate. And I don't even know if I want to call it that. It's not even an educated guess. It's just a number out of the air. Would you say that? I mean, how do they come up with that number?
Yeah, it's supposed to be at a time where your body is in balance and that your blood pressure is not low, at which all extra free water or extra water in your body is removed. And that should be your dry weight, at which you have bones, muscles, skeleton, everything else that's in your body without extra free water should be your dry weight. Without having symptoms of low blood pressure like dizziness, headaches, or nausea, vomiting, or cramping. So all the symptoms that you get. So that should be your dry weight. But again, your body changes every day, depending on what you eat and also what your clothes you're wearing. I mean, people wear different clothes every day and they come into dialysis with a coat, maybe a sweater. That can be a couple extra pounds or kilograms onto their dry weight that was not calculated. And so we're leaving extra fluid on people if you do that. So we need more tools. We need more technology. In this modern age, I think this device, it's becoming more and more incorporated with the technology. And eventually, with artificial intelligence, we'll see the machines doing this for us. And also to speak to what you did, Lori, and as my hero of going home and doing this yourself, you know, there are people that go home and do it more than three times a week. You know, when you come into center, they do it Monday, Wednesday, Friday, or Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday. Home hemodialysis can be done more often, and so it controls fluids a lot better. Sometimes even the nocturnal patients. We had a program at nighttime where the people that work want to come in at night and sleep for 6 or 8 hours. And by doing it slower and gentler, we were able to control their fluid a lot better during those times as well. But this issue of trying to do what your kidneys do in 3 or 4 hours, when normally it takes 48 to 72 hours, and it's an everyday process, you're continuously getting rid of water. It's just so important to try to find tools to help us balance and to help the patients. Otherwise, we're going to have continued problems and hospitalizations.
Well, and, you know, this is my other pet peeve. This is like a therapy session for me.
Great.
But I've heard continually people who advocate for home hemodialysis, say, oh, patients don't need that because they're doing it more frequently. That is not true.
Yeah.
They need it more than anyone. They're dialyzing at home. They would understand it. I mean, this parental attitude that, yeah, let me give you all the responsibility of doing dialysis at home. And I had my own crit line. So what happened to me, and I was on the next stage machine, which, you know, I'm very grateful that I could do it at home and yada, 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 my dog on my lap. I agree with all of that. But my oxygen would drop during treatment. And I knew that I needed oxygen, not to pull fluid. And then I got out of the hospital one time from a GI bleed, and I was able to pull fluid off of me with the crit line because I lost weight. I could see it. And, you know, everybody says, well, the doctor gives the prescription and you can't change it. Well, that we're supposed to be partners in care. So we have all the responsibility of being at home, but you make decisions for us that may not be what we feel is right for us. And we need to have some level of partnership. And this is a great example. I have a friend who's on home hemo, and she woke up on Sunday morning, and she was so fluid overloaded. You could see it in her face that she did a treatment. She couldn't even get out of bed.
Yeah.
And, you know, she was able to do a treatment, and I guarantee you, and I'm not a doctor. I just think I am at times because I've lived through so much. I guarantee you she has extra fluid on her.
Yep.
If you feel that bad and you take so many, there is a lot of hidden fluid on her. And she's already been hospitalized for congestive heart failure. I mean, and this goes against getting a kidney transplant. It's all connected. If you don't manage this, you then can harm your heart to not be able to be eligible for a transplant. You lose your job. You can't take care of your kids. I mean, it's the human toll. And I know this industry is based on payment drives practice. And I hope it comes in the future, but I'm tired. I've been doing this for 30 years. Yeah. I mean, I'm like, no, it's not. I wanted to see it in my lifetime. And I'm 59 and lived with this illness 57 years. And I have never in my life seen a better product for people with kidney disease, and I bleed this crit line. They don't give me anything for talking about this. Just to let you know, I just can't shut up. And so we talk about the B profile, which we talk about that. Let's talk about the C profile.
Yeah.
Talk about the C deadly profile and what that means.
So this monitor that is either freestanding or within the machine itself, a C profile has a line that basically drops down very rapidly, and this basically tells you that you're removing too much fluid. Your body it does not have the extra fluid to give up to. Sometimes we see this in patients who've had a lot of diarrhea or people that haven't been eating and drinking very much. Sometimes you can see it in cirrhotics that have fluid in their ankles or in their belly, but you can't pull it into the space. But if you continue to try to pull that fluid and you just set it at some goal of a 1,000 mLs an hour, that patient's going to bottom out their blood pressure. They're going to have the worst day of their life in the dialysis center without having a monitor to tell you that your body is not able to give up this fluid. You need to look at other ways to remove that fluid. Maybe that's to draw some fluid off the belly. Maybe it's to draw it off the lung, outside the lung. These types of things that can build up that your body is not going to pull back into the body, into the vascular space so we can remove with dialysis. So you're really putting a dangerous situation for these patients. I do think there is hope coming, Lori, with the advent of Next Stage working closer with the crit line people. They're looking at the Next Stage and some of the other devices that are used in slow dialysis, even in the hospital setting of using crit lines. You know, the problem is that these are not FDA approved except in the hemodialysis world, and that was 30 years ago. So when you're looking at the number of patients doing home therapies, even though they're often more gentle, they're easier on patients, there are not, by and far, the number one population like to walk in. We're a country that likes for patients to walk in, sit in a dialysis chair, be taken care of. And we need to move more into the home to where then this can be a more of a discussion. But for patients, I think it's important to ask your provider, what do you know about the crit line? Ask that question. If they don't have it there, what can we do to get one into our center to help us with our fluid?
Well, they do. And they say it doesn't work.
Yep. Well,
and they say they give all of these, You know what? I would appreciate the honesty of them saying we don't have the staff or the knowledge or the resources.
Yeah.
I mean, that I can take that answer, but I cannot say that patients don't need it. And I have for years been trying to offer other alternatives. And I mean, you know, I'm not going to give Next Stage a break because I told them about this 15 years ago.
Right.
So, I mean,
right.
I'm sorry. I like the product, but I mean, it all comes down to payment. And we are in the midst of talking about innovation and payment. This country is really into it. And there is innovation that's out there that should be brought in so it's not prevented, you know, for patients having access to it. The chamber is like $2 a treatment. You know, and the way the rules are is that if I wanted to fork that money out myself, I wouldn't be allowed to because that's against the rules.
No.
And so I get a little frustrated. I'm just a little more impatient because I've been seeing this for 3 decades.
Yeah.
I mean, they know me. I tell them this. I tell this stuff to their face. This is nothing they don't know. Nobody in the community. I mean, I've had doctors say, I'm not going to die on the hill with you on this topic because it's extremely, it should be a standard of care tomorrow in acute dialysis.
Yeah.
If they want to change the mortality rates, and I think, you know, we talk about all these measures, but the one measure I want to talk about is why don't we just ask how the patient tolerated the treatment?
Yeah.
Why don't we just ask that one?
Yeah.
Because that drives everything. It drives staff happiness. Patients, people don't want, nurses don't want to take care of patients. They don't want to go in a field where patients don't feel good after treatment. They want to make a difference. So everything is connected. And I want to go back to the number 3 profile because this is one that I consistently see. And that's when somebody crashes. Because it's very serious when you crash. But I'd like you to talk a little bit about, you know, the blood pressure and how it relates to the 3. Because, and I saw this personally, I've experienced it myself, is that your blood pressure can start to be low when you get too much fluid on you. And if your blood pressure is high, now, when I was doing more research, and about 90% of all high blood pressure is due to fluid. Is that a correct statement?
There's some caveats to that or some qualifiers. One qualifier is the fluid issue has, at least early in my training, I was always taught that, especially in African Americans and in others' populations, there are patients that retain fluid and their blood pressures are high related to the fluid, and you need to go up on their diuretics or you need to remove fluid. And a lot of knee jerks for nephrologists, even on dialysis, even today, they'll see a high blood pressure and the first thing is, I need to get their dry weight. And where a Critline could help you, okay, I'm at my dry weight, this is not fluid causing their high blood pressure, we need to go with medications to help us. So the Critline can really help you in that situation. But there have been research that have looked at patients with low blood pressures that are volume overload, and also those that are blood pressures are high and are volume overload. So you can actually see volume overload on all spectrums of blood pressure, whether it's low or high. As people have high blood pressure for years and years, the heart can become very stiff, and in other times it can dilate and become very poorly functioning. And depending on the status of your heart, how long you've been having high blood pressure or kidney failure, that can play a big role into what your blood pressure's response is to volume. And sometimes it can be very challenging without a Critline to tell you, you know, especially in the hypotensive or the low blood pressure patients, they can be sometimes the most challenging because you see fluid, you can examine, they have fluid, or they get into congestive heart failure fluid, and yet their blood pressures are 100 or 90. And those can be some very challenging patients. And in those cases, some other avenues to augment the heart pump or augment the patient's fluid status can be helpful with other devices or other therapies to help their heart or depending on what the problem is. But this data used to be that everybody thought that overload was the culprit behind blood pressure, but it's not always the case.
Well, and it's one of my friends right now is dealing with a serious low blood pressure. Mm-hmm. And he's actually has brain fog.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And he has some vision problems.
Yeah, so sometimes the diabetics, yeah, diabetics have this autonomic problem, yeah.
Yeah, he also lost all of his kidney function in a week of mm-hmm. his transplant. So I'm not a doctor, but I like to figure out puzzles. And they crashed him severely.
Yeah.
You know, and so when I talk to him and I'm giving him questions to ask his physician, we hear this topic called brain stunning. Brain stun, all these different things. And, you
cardiac
know,
I get on stun, a, you know, stun heart and stun brain.
Stun heart, brain. And it's because you're pulling fluid too fast.
Yep.
And, right? I mean, that's what's happening. And inevitably, I see on boards by other professionals, and I guess I'm just angry because I see this perspective that is not brought up in the community, is that it's because the patient drank too much or they had too much fluid. And it's frustrating to me because when you have low blood pressure, you are given things that make you drink, that make you hold more fluid. So, you know, let's give them a bunch of saline and add more fluid to the problem. Because when your blood pressure drops, the only treatment is to give fluid. That's the only way to help them get out of it, right? But now they're harming the patient.
No.
They're harming them.
So we need technology to bring the patient back into balance. We need to have devices like the Critline to help those patients especially. And for me, the patient that's diabetic, because a lot of times the nerves to the heart are damaged, just like nerves and blood vessels are damaged in diabetics. And so you'll see this autonomic neuropathy or autonomic hypotension that where the patients can't generate a high blood pressure. Their body can't tighten up the blood vessels like it should to respond to fluid being removed. And so they constantly stay in a low blood pressure state. And again, those are very balance sensitive is probably the best word I can say, is that they're very sensitive to even a small amount of fluid removal, and you need to do it slower and gentler, or and having a device to tell you where you need to go. It's like a roadmap. It's, you know, I wish we had Google Maps. It would just be a Google fluid management or a Google Critline that could tell us where to go and how to go there exactly.
I think it's absolutely brilliant that it could be attached to AI. And, you know, I know there are a lot of people who are advocating for this product, but we don't seem to have a very big voice. You know, there are a lot of people at Fresenius that I know personally who are advocating for this product. We just scratch our heads that it's been so long. Yeah. And I'm trying to understand what's going to make a change. I mean, all of these things is important to really understand. We have to first do no harm to people. And what I envision for the future is that Critlines are on everything, okay? It's a no-brainer.
Yep.
But I envision in-center self-care and let the patients see the Critline. Explain it to them. They know an A profile, B profile, C profile. You will engage them more. You will get them involved. You will show them when they eat something how their blood volume drops. So, you know, all the clinics tell the patients not to eat. Hello, they eat under the covers, okay? You know, I mean, people are going to, they can't, we're not in jail. We're not in prison. We didn't commit a crime. You know, so it's hard to tell somebody not to eat for 4 or 5 hours because the actual process of dialysis should make you hungry. That's the biggest thing. I mean, I ask people after a treatment, you know, were you hungry? And, you know, some people are starved. But if they're not hungry, I mean, I'm not a doctor, but you're the doctor. That's an indication they could be need more dialysis if you're not hungry. Because this is my 57 years of training as a patient. And I think having in-center self-care, if they could get AI, because I like how you as a physician could see real time how their treatment's going and tell the nurse what to do.
Yeah.
You know, that it's drop. That would be incredible where you could just have a little app come up as Mrs. Hartwell. And, you know, you have her this, blah, 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 blah. That would be a game changer.
tomorrow. I've asked them to do that. Ask them for the provider to get the app that every crit line can be hooked in that you have on patients, and you could look and not have to bother the nurse. I could look at it and say, okay, everything's going in the B profile. We're taking off a fluid right at the balance that the patient needs. Their blood pressure is stable and there's no complaints and things are moving in the right direction. Or if I see something that's in an A profile or C profile, I can contact the nurse immediately and say, hey, what's going on? Tell me what we need to adjust. Because the provider can't be at the bedside for every single treatment. That's not going to happen. And so there has to be a partnership between the nurse, the tech, the patient, and the provider to get your therapy into balance. If you're not in balance, you got to pull the team together, have a care conference, ask for a care conference, get the team together. You need teamwork. It's not a one person off. And ultimately, as you said, the patient has to be the center of that team. Are you doing well? Are you not doing well? If you're not doing well, seek help, reach out, make noise, whatever. Just don't sit there and take the suffering, because there's better forms of therapy out there for you. So, and better technology to help.
Well, and then the other part of the dream or the future is for it to be on all home hemo patients.
Yeah.
And teach them to be able to use it. But then as a physician, you could still see their profiles and understand if they're actually to prevent hospitalizations, keep patients working, keep patients active. I think the answer's right in front of us. You know, I thank you so much, Dr. McCabe, for just having an honest, heartfelt conversation about this. I hope this podcast sparks things. Number one, I mean, I'm going to add another thing to the wish list. I think that they should go back and add a payment structure to get this into the system. And I mean, we're talking about innovation and people say, well, no, it's been around forever. There is innovation currently right now. And this particular product can help lessen blood pressure meds, lessen, you know, maybe the need for anemia medication, because if you get them in a dry weight, you're not anemic as much.
Right.
You know, it's, and then it can also help educate the patients, because we present differently every time we show up for a treatment. And it's based on what we ate the day before. So if we decide to have a little Chinese food, you know, and it's salty, that's going to impact our ability to pull fluid.
Yep.
And then if you crash on dialysis, this is my final, because I'm getting it all out. There is this myth that if you crash, you're dry. And if you want me to lose a gasket, that's a great way to start a conversation. Just to close, can you just talk about crashing and dry weight?
Well, first of all, thank you for letting me be a part of this podcast I feel your passion, because you want what's right for the patient. I want what's right for the patient. We want a safe treatment. We don't want patients crashing and having cramping or hypotension or feeling bad during their treatment. We want them to walk in. And the purpose of dialysis was for patients to walk in, receive a treatment, and walk out from that treatment and go back doing the things in life that they're supposed to do and they want to do, and give them a quality of life. When you crash, you don't have the quality of life. You're losing that quality that we are doing dialysis for. I think it's just so important to try to find the weight. Now, CritLine is not approved for dry weight determination, but it helps as a tool to determine where not enough fluid or too much fluid is being removed. Either way, it allows you to find a balanced structure to where that patient can be. So it can be a very helpful tool. There's a lot of other things that the CritLine can be used for. And I think we're seeing a shift. One thing, Fresenius is now partnered with NxStage, and it has combined forces. And this has been quite a few discussions about bringing it to the home patient. And also into the ICU setting, to where we can cut down the time of the nursing staff to find out what the fluid, you know, a lot of times we don't need to take much fluid, but if we have a CritLine, we can save nursing time and save them from burning out or getting exhausted taking care care of patients in a critical care settings. So I think there's a lot of movement to try to find the right dry weight, but you need tools to do that. You can't just look at somebody who's in a bundle of sweaters and coats and try to say, okay, your dry weight is X, Y, and Z. It's a pure guessing game if you're not being examined. And even sometimes when you examine the patient, it can be hidden in the abdomen. It can be hidden in other parts of the body. So trying to find that fluid, even after my whole time of being in nephrology for 30 years, just like you, Lori, we have a hard time finding that, and we don't want patients to crash. But if you're having poor treatments, if you're listening to this and you're having poor treatments, get a care conference, ask about the crit line, ask about how we can do better with my volume management and determining your dry weight, and see if bringing in one or two devices could help your population of patients, whether it be the incident patients or the prevalent patient that's been in it for years and years. I still found every patient that came in the hospital, if they came in for something other than fluid, I would still put them on a crit line to see, do we have them balanced? And I would say 9 out of 10 times I was changing dry weights based on that. So again, I think it's a valuable tool to prevent this problem.
And I just remember every time I got a transplant after being on dialysis, I lost a lot of fluid.
Yeah.
And, you know, so that's that hidden fluid that nobody knows about that's impacting our health. Well, I thank you so much for being on the show. We'll have you back again. Maybe we'll be talking about the joys of all the changes that's happening. And, you know, I really want to talk to my listeners here and say, if you want to email me and tell me that you agree with me, it would give me much hope, because I need to hear that other people feel this frustration. I've been living with this for 30 years, fighting for this for 30 years, and sometimes I feel very alone because, you know, I see this so clearly where we need to go in the kidney community. And being a patient, we are often sometimes, oh, you don't know anything. We know more than you know. If you just listen to us, we know our bodies. We are smart. If you live with this illness, you know a lot more than you think. And I am a strong advocate, and I'm a little more frustrated lately that, you know, sometimes patients are discounted when they're saying something. And I want you to know you're not alone, because I have felt that way too. Please email me, call me, send me a message to RSN. Let's make changes. Let's make innovation in this community that works for us. Of course, it's got to be, I mean, and no disrespect, Dr. McCabe, but payment, we don't care about payment. We care about feeling good. And there's a happy balance. But all these things, when I hear the word value and, you know, it's like, where is our value? Where is the value of the consumer who's paying the bill? And I want to state that I am very, very grateful for dialysis and all the people who care for me. I know it's not easy, and it's hard to change. It's hard to change people who think they know everything. But I want everybody to have an open mind and think about how they're doing their care, and if their patients are happy, and if they're feeling good, and if they're not, you need to change. Not the patients. We don't need to change. You need to change. And I mean, it's a hard topic, but I feel like I've been doing this long enough that I'm the only one that's going to speak up. And I'm mad as hell. And I want to see it happen in my lifetime.
Keep the fight up, Lori. You're my hero today.
I know. I think it was pretty, I mean, it's a little strong, but I don't know what else to do to shake these people up. Yeah. And I respect that you're doing this, you know, and I don't want, but I also want the reality is I know the last 30 conversations, and I can think of 40 doctors that have told me, I don't know what I'm talking about. And I mean, including, I can give some very big names, and I didn't list any.
Until you live it, like you've lived it, Lori, no one can question you. You lived it.
Well, I know, but it's just, it's like, I don't want to scare patients. You know, I don't want them to have a bad relationship with their doctor. But I mean, these last couple of months, I mean, people I care about are probably going to die.
Yeah.
You know? And I mean, I want to cry.
Yeah.
I want to cry. Yeah. I'm so frustrated because they keep asking the wrong questions in this community.
Yeah.
And if they get the questions right, we'll solve the problems.
Agree.
All right. Thank you so much, and we'll be in touch.
Thank you, Lori.
Thanks for listening to Kidney Talk, a program of Renal Support Network. Please make sure to find us on Facebook or sign up for our newsletter at rsnhope.org. Kidney Talk is intended for informational purposes only. It is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment from your physician. Always seek the advice of your own healthcare provider regarding your medical condition.